Welcome to I Can Relate. I'm your host, Chosen King Willie. This is the podcast where we talk about godly relationships and how to have relationships from the Word of God. What the Word of God says about them and how it says we are to govern our relationships and ourselves within relationships. Today, the title of today's episode is The Newborn Spirit. We're going to go into more detail. It's one that's been near and dear to my heart that I want to get into and talk to you guys about. But we'll get to that in just a minute. I want to take the time out to say thank you guys for all the support, all the love, all the adoration, all the continuous support I continue to get on this podcast. I really appreciate it. You guys are really helping me do this, even through fighting through some of the things you have to fight through. Because getting before people is hard. It's not an easy task, but it gets easier the more you do it. That's not to say anything other than to say thank you for all your encouragement. That being said, I need you guys to do me a favor. All those that are in podcast world, all those that are going to listen to me off of Facebook, off of Spotify, off of Instagram, off of anywhere where you can either see my podcast or listen to podcasts, I ask you guys to please go to YouTube. Type in your search bar, Trumpet Call Broadcast. Go subscribe, like, and comment on our videos there for the ministry, which is Terrence Shivers Ministries. We are a word of faith ministry, teaching the message of light, faith, and taking the message of light, faith, and healing power to the body of Christ and all around the world. This is near and dear to my heart because, like I tell you in every podcast episode, and I'll continue to tell you, without Terrence Shivers Ministries and Trumpet Call Broadcast, there would be no I Can Relate. So I Can Relate was birthed out of a place of love and adoration for Trumpet Call Broadcast and Terrence Shivers Ministries. That being said, I just want to jump on and say, you guys, if you could, it would be much appreciated, and I would really appreciate it if you guys would just go right now as you're listening to YouTube, type in Trumpet Call Broadcast, subscribe, like our videos, and comment. And thereby, you are helping us take the message of light, faith, and healing power to the body of Christ and all around the world. That being said, let's get ready to pray so we can get into it, because I got a lot to cover and we got time to do it today. Amen? Amen. Father God, we thank you. There's none like you in all of heaven and earth. Father God, we thank you that as we enter the word, that we'll see how we are to govern ourselves in relationships, how the newborn spirit, how it functions, what it is, how it functions, and how to keep it active. That's what we'll learn today, Lord. And we'll be so ever grateful to walk in what we hear and what we learn. We'll be faithful doers of the word and not just hearers only, deceiving ourselves, Father. We won't be those kind of hearers. But Father, I just thank you for everyone that's listening, everyone who will listen. Lord, I ask you to add a blessing to this, Lord. Let it get deep down in their hearts and let this be the seed sown that someone else may come along and water, Father, that they will hear the word, receive the seed. The whoever you would have water it will water the seed, and that they'll bring forth some 30, some 60, some 100-fold, Lord God. We just ask you for the 100-fold return in everyone's life, Lord God. And we just thank you for it in Jesus' name. Lord God, thank you for all all the ears that are lending to me as they listen to this podcast, and all the new, just the ears and the eyes that have come across, even though it's audio. We just want to thank you for it, Lord God. I thank you for using anointing these lips of clay to speak your marvelous word, Father God, into the ears and hearts of the people of God. And also, unbelievers, Lord, we thank you for them as well. And we thank you for an opportunity to witness and to tell them about your love and your kindness in the word of God and the newborn spirit. I thank you for this episode. This is a near and dear episode to me, Father. And I thank you for giving me the opportunity and the extreme pleasure to share it with all the rest of the world and others. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen. Okay, so we're going to start with the newborn spirit today. That's our message and title for today. And we're going to deal with it, like I said in the intro, in three parts. What the newborn spirit is, how does the newborn spirit function, and how to keep the newborn spirit activated. Okay? So first things first, we prayed in. We talked about those things that we needed to do as far as the ministry. Now let's talk about the word. Go with me. We're going to talk about the first point, which is what the newborn spirit is. Go with me to Genesis 1:26-30. And when you get there, as always, say amen. I may not be able to hear you, but in spirit I will. Amen. Amen. Let's get there. We're almost there. Genesis. Okay. 1:26. And it reads, and I'm reading out of the NKJV, that says, "Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." And God says, "See, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed to you, it shall be food for you. Also to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creepeth on the earth in which there is life. I have given every green herb for food," and it was so. So, the newborn spirit came out of God because the Bible says he said, "Be fruitful, multiply, fill up the earth, subdue it, have dominion." Those five commands that he gave them is what the newborn spirit consists of. And you will see it later on in the ministry of Jesus that because he had the spirit on him, he was able to do those things. He wasn't born again yet, but he was functioning under the old covenant. And since he wasn't yet born again because he hadn't died yet and arisen, he was still able to show you how the newborn spirit should function. Amen? Amen. Okay. So that's one verse. I want to take you to another verse that's going to teach us about the newborn spirit. Let's go to 1 Peter 1:23. Okay. 1 Peter 1:23. And again, when you get there, say amen. Amen. I'm on my way. Almost there. Okay. 1 Peter 1:23. And this is Peter talking about the newborn spirit. And again, I'm reading out of the NKJV, the New King James Version. And it says, on one page, amen, I'm there. Oh, wow, I went too far. My bad, everybody. I went too far. I found it. I got you. "Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever." That's 1 Peter 1:23. So Peter tells us that the newborn spirit is born of the incorruptible seed of God. So that's what the newborn spirit is made of, the incorruptible seed, where God said him and his word are one. So if the seed or the word in, well, the, I compare the seed and the word as saying they're one and the same, because God doesn't do anything independent of his word. So everything that he does in our lives as believers is done according to the word and based off the word. So I draw the comparison there and say that the seed and the word must be the same thing, because when Jesus talked about his death and him about to die, he said, "Unless a kernel of wheat it's put in the ground and left and led to die, it abides alone. But if it dies in the ground or is planted in the ground, it'll bring forth fruit." And he was talking about his death, burial, and the resurrection that he was finna go through. But he used that as an analogy to what was finna happen with him in order to explain to them what was gonna happen in the resurrection, bringing forth much fruit. Okay, so we're talking about right now what the newborn spirit is. It's born of the incorruptible seed of God. It's what the first thing he ever told man to do, which is be fruitful, multiply, fill up the earth, subdue it, and have dominion. And man was supposed to do that because his spirit had everything that had God in it. And God was going to teach him how, through speaking, how to do the five things he told his, the five things that was in his spirit to already do. That's why when a person gets born again, you don't have to teach them right from wrong. They know that they know instinctively what that they're supposed to be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue, and have dominion, because that's written in the newborn spirit. When God said, "I will write my laws in their heart," the law He wrote in their heart was be fruitful, multiply, fill up the earth, subdue it, and have dominion. That's the law He wrote in their heart. In that same law is the law of love, because without faith doesn't work without love. So even in all that He said to them, He gave them all that they needed to do all that He called them to do. He gave them five commands to do the five things He called them to do. Amen? Amen. That's what the born again spirit is. It's the word of God going into the heart of mankind at that time of Adam before the fall. And then man received that and became a living and active being. Now he was made in the image and likeness of God. His body was formed by God. And the spirit that was in him was the same spirit that was in God. So then when we look at the new birth, we know that that's the same word that He gave to Adam is the same word He gave to every Christian after Jesus got up off the cross. When the Bible talks about Jesus going to the disciples, appearing to the disciples, He breathed on them and said, "Receive ye the Holy Spirit." Breathe, the same breath He breathed on them was the same breath He breathed in Genesis when it says that He breathed into the nostrils of man. And the same thing He must have said to them is, "Be fruitful, multiply, fill up the earth, subdue it, have dominion." And they became born again by receiving that. So that's that. Now let's look at the next point. We're going to transition to the next point. Our next point is how the newborn spirit is functioning. How do we function in our newborn spirit? Or what are some of the functions of the newborn spirit? Let's go look at our first one. John 2, the book of St. John, chapter 2, verse 1. And we're going to read this. We're going to get some powerful revelation out of this. When you get there, say amen. I know I can't hear you, but I still like to say it because I like to feel like I can hear you. Like I'm there with you. Amen. Amen. So John 2, we're going to read verse 1 through 12. John 2. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now, both Jesus and His disciples were invited into the wedding. And when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said unto Him, "They have no wine." Jesus said unto her, "Woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Whatsoever He says to you, do it." Now, there were six water pots of stone, according to the manner of purification of the Jews, concerning the manner of purification of the Jews, containing 20 or 30 gallons apiece. Jesus said to them, "Fill the water pots with water." And they filled them up to the brim. And He said to them, "Draw some out now and take it to the master of the feast." And they took it. When the master of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and did not know where it came from, but the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom and he said to him, "Every man at the beginning sets out the good wine, and when the guests have well drunk, then the inferior. You have kept the good wine until now. This beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested His glory, and His disciples believed on Him. And after this, He went down to Capernaum, He, His mother, His brother, and His disciples, and they did not stay there many days." Okay, the first miracle of Jesus is very important. The first thing Jesus did is the same thing, the first thing He did in the beginning with Adam. Before He made Adam, He provided for Adam. Had the garden, everything was set up for Adam. when Adam came into the picture, he had already been provided for. So he came into abundance. He was born in, basically like what we like to say, born into abundance or into an abundant place. God placed him in an abundant place and then started telling him, hey, this is how you, I want you to conduct yourself. But he placed him in an abundant place. He didn't place him in a place of lack. He didn't tell him, you got to work for it. No. Work and toil came after the fall. But before the fall, God placed Adam in the garden that he had created for him. In an abundant place he created for him. Before he created the man, he created an abundant place. So that should tell you something. Now, we just read one of the verses about provision. That's how one of the functions of this newborn spirit is provision. There's provision. That's how it functions. It's going to provide. It's going to, whether it's by laying hands on people or praying for people or even taking some of your resources and providing for someone else. It's always a provisional element to this newborn spirit. Amen. Another verse or verse of scripture you can read is in the book of John chapter 6. You can read that whole chapter. I don't have enough time to go over it today, but at some other time we'll read the chapter. That's another corresponding scripture where it talks about another example of Jesus providing for the 5,000. Well, I believe it's 20,000 or more, 25,000, because it was just the men that were 5,000. That don't include the women and the children. So each man had a wife, just about. So that's another 10. Each wife had at least, or each family had at least one or two children. So let's say two children. That's another, that's 10 with them. Two, that's at least another 20,000, another 10,000 there. And if they had three, that's another 15,000. So that'd be 25,000. So it's at least close to 30,000 people Jesus fed with five loaves of bread and two fish. You know, I like how my minister said it. He said, in the movies, you always see them giving Jesus the two fish and the five loaves of bread. And he raises them to heaven. He prays over them. And they come down, all these fishes and all these loaves. But when the Bible says it, it says he prayed over it and brought it down. It didn't say that the fish multiplied in the basket or the bread multiplied, but he gave it to the disciples and they distributed it to the people. And when they were done distributing it, they took up 12 baskets of the leftovers. That's how much leftovers there was. But it was the same two fish and five loaves. It didn't change because that Hollywood seems to think that that'd be more spectacular. But the miracle really was he took two fish, five loaves of bread, and fed nearly 30,000 people. That's a miracle. That's a miracle. Amen. Okay, let's look at it. We know that the newborn spirit also can be used to get other people born again. Let's look at John 4, 1 through 26. And we'll read some of it. We're not going to read all of it, but I'm giving you the scriptural references so you can go back in your time and read it. This is about the Samaritan woman at the well. Therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself did not baptize, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again to Galilee, but he needed to go through Samaria. So he came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being weary from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. That living water he was talking about, he would have gave you the things that would bring about eternal life. What? The word. He would have gave you the word that would have brought about living water. The woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our fathers Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock? Jesus answered her and said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whosoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water, springing up into everlasting life. That's how you know he's talking about the newborn spirit, because a newborn spirit cannot die. The human spirit, or the spirit that's from beneath, cannot die. You cannot kill a human spirit or the newborn spirit. They're going to live forever, eternally, somewhere. And that's the difference. Where's that spirit going to live? The human spirit, if it doesn't get born again, is going to hell for all eternity. The newborn spirit goes to heaven to be with the Father, because you go where your Father is. You're either a child of God or you're a child of Satan. It's only two races of being: child of God, child of Satan. That's it. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw. Jesus said to her, go and call your husband and come here. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, you have well said, I have no husband. For you have five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband. And that you spoke truly. The woman said to him, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worship on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is a place where you ought to worship. She's trying to get religious on him. Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming and it now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, meaning that you're going to have to be born again to worship him, and you're going to have to worship him according to what the word says. So you're going to have the newborn spirit and the word working together. And that's what it is for Christians. They have the newborn spirit and the word. I don't care how much of a sanctified Holy Ghost, tongue-talking Christian you are. If you don't have the word of God partnering with being born again, you're going to be defeated. The devil is going to slay you, so to speak, because you cannot, according to these words of Jesus, worship God outside of being born again and having the word of God. This is the words of Jesus. This ain't Willie's words or Chosen King Willie's words. This is Jesus's words. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. Meaning that the Father is going to seek those who worship him because they're born again, and those who worship him because they worship him according to the word. That's what the Father is seeking. And that's the John 4:1-24. We'll read 25 and 26. The woman said to him, I know the Messiah is coming. Again, she's going religious. Who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. Or how dare you tell me that I got to be born again and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I don't want to do it that way. The Messiah come, he'll set me right. He know my heart, basically. Like people say, Jesus know my heart. Yeah, he might know it in the sense he can see it and it's bare before him. But does he know it experience? Has he experienced your heart? Meaning, has he got to see what was really there, because you've walked with him and he's showed you what you need to work on and get right and fixed? Have you let the word correct you? Because in Hebrews, the 12th chapter, it says we've had fathers of our flesh who corrected us, and they corrected us for a few days as they saw fit, but God is correcting us for eternity, or an eternal life. So basically, if you can't deal with God's correction, you're no more a son than if you can't be corrected by your own father, your natural father. There it goes. Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he, or I who speak to you am the Messiah. I am the one who's going to tell you what's right from wrong. I'm not telling you on my own accord, or I am not just speaking. just to speak. I am the Messiah. I am the one that you, the chosen one, the one that's supposed to speak to you on these matters. I'm the one that you've been praying for and everyone has been looking for. I'm the Messiah that was prophesied to come. I am He. So stop discounting what I'm telling you. Amen. That's what He's saying to her. And He had to say it a certain way so that she could get it. He had to just let her know, like, okay, I am the Messiah. Another scripture on the new birth is John 5:41-58. Let's look at that. John 5:41-58. 41. I don't receive honor from men. This is Jesus talking. But I know you, that you do not have the love of God in you. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, him you will receive. How can you believe who receive honor from one another and do not seek the honor that comes from the only God? The only God. Do you not think that I shall accuse you to the Father? There is one who accuses you, Moses, in whom you trust. For if you believe Moses, you will believe me, for he wrote about me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words? I think that that should have been something new. Yeah, it was supposed to be, forgive me everyone, I read the wrong one. It's supposed to be John 6. That's why you gotta be careful. John 6:41-58. And it goes like this. The Jews complained about him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? Familiarity. How is it that when he says, I have come down, how is it he says, I come down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said to them, do not murmur among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. So Jesus just set it up and showed us about the new birth, that no one can come to God unless the Father woos him to come to Christ. No one can come to Jesus and be forgiven of sins and have salvation presented to them unless God is wooing them to Christ. And I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Therefore, everyone who hears, who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Meaning everyone who's heard the message and allowed God to woo them comes to Jesus. Not that anyone has seen the Father except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. So you cannot have everlasting life unless God woos you and you receive and believe Jesus Christ as the Son of God, who is sent as a ransom for your life. Amen. Most surely I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore quarreled among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say unto you, unless you eat of the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you shall have no life in you. Whosoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I am him. As the Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. You could tell he was talking about his words, because if he's talking about cannibalism, then why wouldn't they just kill him and eat him? He would have just said, okay, just kill me and eat me then. So he was talking about he who feeds on me, or he who hears the Father. That's what his first talk started talking about. He who hears the Father and comes to me, I will raise him up. So you have to hear what God the Father is saying in order to be able to come to Jesus. Then when you come to Jesus, you must receive Jesus as the atoning sacrifice for your sins in order to be washed clean of all your sins for all eternity. Now, you, as Christians, we do repent of when we mess up and we sin, but we don't have to go and make it this whole big thing. Repent means to turn away and turn back, to be turned from the wrong way into the right way, or turn back to the Word and do it the Word's way. That's what repent means. To turn away from your way of doing it outside of God and turn back and say, God, you're right. I'm going to do this thing your way. That's what the word repent means. That's what repentance is. Turning from man's sinful nature or fleshly nature and turning to back to the Word of God, back to the Spirit of God, and saying, Spirit of God, you are right, you are true, and I choose to do things your way. I choose to see it from your perspective. Amen? Amen. Supernatural healing. Let's go to John 4, 46 through 53. Another function of of the newborn spirit is supernatural healing. And we'll see how Jesus did that. Let's look at it. 46 to 53. So Jesus came to Cana of Galilee, where he had made the water to wine. That's the first miracle he had did. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he had heard that Jesus had come out of Judea into Galilee, he sent unto him and implored him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then Jesus said unto him, unless you people see signs and wonders, you will by no means believe. The nobleman said to him, sir, come down before my child dies. Jesus said unto him, go your way, your son lives. So the man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him. Again, words. Jesus sent the word to heal his son, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servant met him and told him, saying, your son lives. Then he inquired of them the hour when his son got better. And they said to him, yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in which Jesus said to him, your son lives. And he himself believed in his whole household. That's a powerful verse. He believed because he found Jesus' words to be true. He had faith in the word of God, and the word of God produced his son's healing. So Jesus told him a day ago, 24 hours ago, your son is going to live, and went on about his way. The man believed what Jesus said, took that, banked on it, and that's what all he could consider. My son's going to live. I got the word from the man of God. He's going to live. So he went on his way. And when he went on, as he went, believing the word, and I'm repeating this for a reason, as he went, believing the word of God took hold with his faith and produced the healing of his son that he needed. But had he not believed, his son would have died. Every miracle Jesus ever did, he always told them, do you believe I can do this? And when they said, yes, Lord, he said, be it unto you according to your faith. Meaning that if you don't believe, it ain't no point of me even saying nothing to you. You might as well just leave you in there and let you die, go to heaven or whatever. Why? At that time, they couldn't go to heaven, but I might as well just let you go to Abraham's bosom or hell or whatever, however it is, depending on who you are and what covenant you're under. You got to go to hell and deal with that. But he gave this man his word. The man believed the word that Jesus had spoke. And because he believed, he did corresponding action by going home. What if you believe that your son is healed, why would you continue to bother Jesus about the healing? If you, Lord, you sure? You sure? You know his name Isaac. You know he ain't the Isaac guy, but he Isaac. No, if you believe what Jesus has said, you will go home and all is well. I've got the word. All is well. I don't care what is happening. All is well because I got the word from the man of God who said, my son shall live. So I don't care what the devil say. I don't care what my cousins say. Man, mama, grandmama, Paul and them. I don't care what nobody else said. The word says my child is healed. And that's what I'm going to say. I don't care if I don't see it right away. I don't care if it takes 3 days to manifest. I don't care if it takes 24 hours to manifest. In this case, 24 hours to manifest. I'm going to believe what the word of God said because that's what I'm supposed to do in order to act on that and therefore see the miracle. I'm not going to wait for the miracle to happen and believe. I'm going to believe until the miracle happens, and not so much until it happens, but I'm going to believe all the way through the miracle happen and keep on believing so that I put the enemy on the outside and I can continue to function as a newborn spirit. Amen. That's one example. The other example of this, of the healing, supernatural healing of Jesus, is John 5:1-9. Let's read it. And this is at the man at the pool of Bethesda. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the Sheep's Gate a pool, which is called in the Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whosoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already had been in that condition for a long time, he said unto him, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I'm coming, another steps down before me." What Jesus was saying to him was, the man was giving Jesus an excuse. Jesus was saying, "You're not made well, not because no one has put you in there, but because you haven't received it by faith." Now let's go. Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." And immediately the man was made well and took up his bed and walked. And that day was the Sabbath day. And we know how the rest of the story goes, how the Jews were mad and everything because you did this on the Sabbath day. And Jesus had to correct that for him. Okay, you do stuff on the Sabbath day. But that's part of his proof. We know that the first three, let's recap them real quick. The first three of how the newborn spirit functions is it functions by provision, providing whatever you may need. In the Cana, the wedding feast of Cana of Galilee, it was wine that they needed. And the other one, she needed to be told about, basically it came down to born again and being, she needed the new birth provided for her. And Jesus told her, was giving her how it was going to happen, how basically he's the water and you need him. You don't need all these other things. And so he showed her that. Then we just went about the new birth, how it brings about the opportunity and the ability to tell people about the gospel of Jesus Christ and tell them how they can come into this newborn spirit. We just talked about supernatural healing. One of my favorite parts of this is the next one, which is communion or communication with God. And for that, let's go to John 14:23. Yeah. John 14:23. Excuse me. Season changing, weather changing. Okay, let's look at this. You get there, say amen, amen. John answered and said to him, Jesus answered and said unto him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." That's the words of Jesus. So that's communion. Anybody that loves God, loves the word of God, and keeps it, God will come and make his resident with that person, and they'll commune. There'll be a communion. Amen. Let's look at 1 John. Another part of this verse is 1 John 5:1-6. Let's look at it. That's just before Revelations. The John right before Revelations. Not 3 John, 1 John. 1 John 5. And he goes, "Whosoever believes that Jesus is the Christ, is born of God. And everyone who loves him, who begot, also loves him who is begotten of him. By this, we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcometh the world, because that newborn spirit overcame the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world, but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not only by water, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. The Spirit of truth is the newborn spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. They're the Spirit of truth, because it's the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. The new birth is what raised Jesus from the dead. We got another one, which is John 5:19-47. We ain't going to read that one. That's more communion with God. You can read that on your own time. We're going to talk about how the newborn spirit can raise the dead. Let's go to John. You can look at John 11 and talk about how Jesus raised Lazarus in that one. And we are going to look at this next one, though. Luke 7:11-17. Let's look at that. We're almost done. We're finna get to this next sub point of this one. And then after this next sub point, we're going to get to the last point, and we're going to close it up. Amen. Man, this is a good study, y'all. This has been good. This has really been good. Let's get there. Luke 7:11-17. Let's look at it and find it, Lord. We there. Amen. Now it happened the day after that he went into the city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and a large crowd. And when he came near the gate of the city, behold, a dead man was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and a large crowd from the city was with her. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, "Do not weep." Then he came and touched the open coffin, and those who carried him stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." So he who was dead sat up and began to speak, and he presented him to his mother. Then fear came upon all, and they glorified God, saying, "A great prophet has risen up amongst us, and God has visited his people." And this report about him went throughout all Judea and all the surrounding regions. That's another example of Jesus raising the dead. The widow woman of Nain, he raised her son up. He raised Lazarus from the dead. This is telling you how this newborn spirit functions. It provides provision for whatever you may need. It helps other people get born again. It's supernatural healing. It's communion and communication with God. It raises the dead. One of the next and not last, it's an eyewitness to the glory. And it was with Jesus in the beginning. Let's go. We're going to go to, for the eyewitness part, we're going to go to John 8:12-58. And we'll let you guys read that on your own, because that's a lot of reading. So we'll let you read that on your own. But it was an eyewitness to what it says in the beginning. The Spirit of God hovered above the face of the waters. So that same Spirit was in the beginning. That's the same Spirit that was there when the Bible says, and God said, "Let there be light." And the light was. That's the Spirit of God released the light, or opened up and received that word and released the light. It's the same Spirit that bear witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So it's eyewitnesses of the children of God, but it's also eyewitnesses of the things of the glory of God, of all the things that God has done and all the things that God is. Amen. Amen. Now, our last final point before we get out of here tonight, you guys, is how to keep the newborn spirit activated. Let's go to Galatians 5:6 for that. Amen. When you get there, say amen. Let's get it. But how do we keep this newborn spirit activated and functioning? Let's keep this spirit functioning so it can do all these wonderful things it's able to do. Amen. Okay, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision availeth anything, but faith which worketh through love. That's what it says. Let's look at John 15:13. Go back to the book of the Apostle John, St. John 15:13. St. John 15:13. When you get there, say amen. We're almost there. 15:13. Greater love has no one than to lay down his own life for his friends. Tell you how we do it. Now let's go to the last one, the very last one on how we keep this activated. Let's go to Jude 1:20-25. Jude is just before Revelations as well. I think it's the last book, actually the actual last book before Revelations. I think it is, because it's just one chapter. Yep, Jude is the last book before Revelation. Jude 1:20-25. And it reads like this. But you, beloved, building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And on some have compassion, making a distinction, but others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments defiled by the flesh. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. Amen. So that just told you we, through love, we pray for people. And by praying for them in the Holy Ghost, we're pulling people out of hell in Jesus' name. So that's how we keep it activated. Love is how we keep it activated. The Bible says, one of my favorite verses is John 3:16. For God so loved. So all this was kicked off. Salvation was kicked off because of love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever shall believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And the next verse is for... Oh, well, we ain't going in that because I don't have that memorized as well. But John 3:16 is all kicked off by love. It is all going to be wrapped up in love. Everything God does is love. God is love. So at the end of the day, that's how we define everything that we see through the word, is everything works by love. Love is the energy that energizes our faith, energizes what we believe in, what we're standing on, and even the scriptures themselves. You have to walk in love. Well, guys, that is our time. You guys have been great. So in summary, to close it up and bring it to conclusion, we know what the newborn spirit is now. We know how the newborn spirit functions now. And we know how to keep the newborn spirit active. We know that. We know how what the newborn spirit is. We know how the newborn spirit functions. And we know how to keep our newborn spirit active. We know those three things. So thank you. Again, this is I Can Relate with your host, Chosen King Willie. As always, love you guys. And also, as we're closing out, also remember, to go to YouTube, type in the search engine, Trumpet Call Broadcast, like, comment, subscribe. And by doing so, you're helping us take the message of light, faith, and healing power to the body of Christ and all around the world. Thank you. Love you. We'll pray out and we're done. Father God, we thank you for the study. We thank you for teaching us what the newborn spirit is, how it functions, Lord God. And after how it functions, you teach us how to keep it active. So, Lord, we thank you for teaching us what the newborn spirit is, how it functions, and how to keep our newborn spirit active. Lord God, we thank you for it in the mighty and matchless name of Jesus Christ. Let everyone who hears this and is under the sound of my voice, whether no matter when they hear it, add a blessing to the blessed message and the already blessed word. Thank you for it, Lord God. We'll see them next time in Jesus' name. Amen. You guys be blessed. Have a great night. Good night.